Welcome to Your Odyssey Podcast, where your guides, Tara and Karen, invite you on a transformative journey toward wholeness and personal growth. Each week, we'll discuss topics related to the human experience and offer insights to help you along the way. Please note, this podcast should not replace medical care or advice. We are not licensed healthcare professionals or mental health therapists. If you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe so you don't miss out on our future discussions. So, explorers, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome, explorers. It's Women's Entrepreneurship Day. In today's episode, we'll spotlight some remarkable women who've turned their ideas into impactful businesses, explore the incredible economic contributions of women-owned enterprises, and discuss our unique challenges. We'll also share valuable resources and tips for those aspiring to follow in our footsteps. Let's celebrate women's strength, resilience, and creativity in business. Together, we can inspire a new wave of female leaders.
Yeah, generations ago, it was so rare. And now there's so many women doing such impactful work, heading up billion-dollar businesses. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Okay, so you might be wondering, what is Women's Entrepreneurship Day? Social entrepreneur and humanitarian Wendy Diamond created the Women's Entrepreneurship Day organization, WEDO, in 2013. On their site, she says, "Our movement was founded with a mission to bring awareness to girls living in poverty worldwide and empower women across the globe. By celebrating, supporting, and uplifting women entrepreneurs, we're creating a more equitable world for women through the power of entrepreneurship."
The spirit of entrepreneurship, there's such an independence, big ideas, creative ideas, powerful energy. That's going to uplift women around the world. If each one of us keeps getting there and doing it, it's like, oh, I can do that. Oh, let's do it.
Yes.
And I love organizations supporting women in countries where they don't have much and they are perhaps crafting things.
This beautiful frock.
Is that right?
Smock is from Francis and Benedict, and their seamstresses are in Togo.
Oh, no kidding. The One World Market down on 9th Street has things from around the world, but they do a lot of supporting women artisans.
Yes.
I love that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Do you know who is identified as the first woman entrepreneur in the United States?
It can't be Martha Stewart.
No.
It's got to be Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Angela. I'm like trying to think of all the powerful women. I don't know who.
The title of first woman entrepreneur in the U.S. is often attributed to Madam C.J. Walker, who became a prominent figure in the early 20th century. Born on December 23rd, 1867, she developed a line of beauty and hair care products for African-American women and built a successful business empire.
I thought I saw the movie. Did you see that movie?
Yes, with Octavia.
I think it's Octavia. Yes. Oh, my God.
Her.
I
know. It's her.
Oh, that was
she
so good.
Is recognized for her entrepreneurial achievements and her role in advocating for social and economic justice. What I found in researching this episode is that a lot of women entrepreneurs are more than just business owners. They are advocating for social and economic justice.
Right. They're not just trying to make a living and make a lot of money. They are invested in ideas and businesses that will level the playing field and promote social and economic justice.
I love it.
And that makes so much sense, doesn't it? Like, it makes so much sense that women entrepreneurs would be like, no, it's about this. And then the money will come.
Yeah. You know? Oh, okay. Flashbacks. But yes. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the impact of us. I found a report put out by Wells Fargo in 2024 on the impact of women-owned businesses. This report states that there are 14 million
women-owned businesses, which make up 39.1% of all U.S. businesses. And I was like,
yes, that's a good number.
And that's up 13.6% from 2019.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, look.
Thank you, pandemic. We were like, we're going to make gold out of this.
Absolutely what happened. Yeah. Absolutely what happened. It was the pandemic. They were like,
we're going to pivot and we're going to do the things.
Yes.
So we're going to help.
39.1% of all U.S. firms. And these 14 million employ 12.2 million people, or 9.2% of total employees.
Wow.
And amazing. The dollars generated in the, this is just the U.S.
Just the U.S.
$2.7 trillion.
Yes. Those are very satisfying numbers. I love those numbers very much.
Yes. During the study time range, the impact of women-owned businesses to the U.S., I mean, $2.7 trillion is nothing to sneeze at, was undeniable, especially for businesses run by women of color. These women-owned businesses are a growing source of jobs and revenues across many industries.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. That makes me so happy. I had no idea the numbers were so strong. That's amazing.
The 14% growth from 2019 to 23. Yeah.
That gives me big hope.
Out here.
Like another 4 years. Right. What? We going to be 30%? Yeah, we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And we're talking about, these are probably mostly not huge, huge corporations. No. So I'm so curious, as that expands and grows, and as women are more successful with their ventures and get more angel money, mm-hmm, venture capital, mm-hmm, et cetera, to support it, how might that explode?
Super encouraging. And like you said, they're not all giant corporations. Of the 14 million, 40,000 of these businesses have 50 plus employees.
That's a teeny, tiny.
And another stat for you and me that was looking at the best states for women-owned businesses. Who number two?
Oh, lay it on me.
North Carolina.
Really? We so good.
I was like, number two, just behind New York.
Wow. That is really amazing. Mm-hmm. Not even Illinois, no. Thinking like Maryland, California, mm-hmm, North Carolina, number two. All right, NC, showing up.
But when we look around, like just in our, how many
for sure
do we have here in our city alone that we frequent?
I could name 10 immediately.
Yeah.
So even though the businesses themselves are smaller, that feels appropriate. Like it's the mom and pop shop, smaller businesses that run the world, really, that run the economy in the United States. Like, what would we do without them? Rock on. We're going to dismantle all of it.
Everything is decentralized.
We're taking it down.
So I have thousands and thousands of pages.
Of course you do.
And it's only because I found a couple of examples for different industries, sectors, segments that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
It highlights the first segment is technology. Women are increasingly leading in tech, with female entrepreneurs starting companies in software development, cybersecurity, and artificial intelligence. One of those women is Anne Wojcicki, co-founder and CEO of 23andMe.
Oh, no way.
Yes. Yes. And then there's Reshma Sajatni, founer of Girls Who Code. We have personal genomic and getting more girls involved in so coding.
Yes.
Okay.
I love it.
And then there's healthcare. Many women entrepreneurs are innovating in the healthcare industry in medical technology, biotechnology, and health services. We're spearheading startups that focus on health and wellness products, telemedicine, and personalized healthcare solutions, like Julie Rice and Elizabeth Cutler, co-founders of SoulCycle.
Tell me about that.
SoulCycle is a company that has revolutionized the fitness industry by offering group cycling classes, emphasizing community and wellness.
And probably in a circle, looking at each other, cheering each other on.
You're not going to catch me on a bicycle, though.
I would do an outdoor bicycle. I don't know that I could stay indoors and do it. But I love that idea because for years, women have been the healers, the elders, the shamans, and the wise people. It's like, yeah, of course we should be dominating the health and wellness sector. Yes, of course. And bring it all together, right?
And then there's retail and e-commerce. Women are thriving in the retail space, especially with the rise of e-commerce. We're founding successful online businesses. creating unique brands and leveraging social media for marketing. One of those is Emily Weiss, founder of Glossier, a beauty brand that started as a blog and grew into a multi-million dollar company known for skincare and makeup products tailored for a younger audience. I love their story. I think she got tired of the corporate drone of working for a larger cosmetics company or whatever. And so she just started doing a blog, and like it grew because of social media. Not because of doing it the way that people always do it. Like, well, you do this thing and you got to do step one and then step two. She was like, right. I'm just getting my thoughts out here.
I'm just going to put it out there and see what
social proof. And now, multi-million dollar business.
I was going to say, you said multi-million. Wow.
Another woman who did it her own way, Sarah Blakely, founder of Spanx.
Oh, yeah. I read her story. I think she has a book, too.
This is a billion-dollar shapewear brand that has transformed women's fashion by providing comfortable and stylish undergarments. Who doesn't celebrate? I don't personally own a pair of Spanx, but I believe in some control top every now and then.
Yeah. I'm just thinking right now, like, there's a few pieces of clothing that I have that I'm like, that would benefit by a little bit of, you know,
or just getting it all, you know. My grandmother used to have a little girdle. Like
a little girdle.
Just a little girdle.
A little girdle.
It don't even got to be a full, just a little bit.
Right, because, you know, as a woman, I celebrate health and beauty at all sizes, all ages. And so there's a part of me that's like, why do we even have that? But it's like once in a while, I want to use it. I want to have it. I want to have the opportunity. And you know what? Good for her. She came up with this idea that proved to be hugely successful, which grew out of just a need that she had. I can't even remember it. I read a story about like the first ones that she made.
Just like out of the trunk of my car.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all I got.
Really, it's a good story. Yeah. That's awesome. And who doesn't love the fun name? Spanx. Spanx. I mean, that just makes it fun.
In sustainable and eco-friendly products, a growing movement of women-led businesses are focused on sustainability, offering eco-friendly products and services.
Yes.
Entrepreneurs in this space are addressing environmental concerns while creating impactful products.
Women are leading the care about the planet.
Women are leading, period.
Women are leading. Anything good that's happening?
Women.
Look at a woman.
Women.
Women.
That's it. Sabrina Patterson is the founder of The Eco Goddess, a company that creates environmentally friendly personal care products, promoting sustainability in the beauty industry. Now, the company name in and of itself, Eco Goddess.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm like looking it up as soon as we get finished. I'm like, yes, please. I'll take some Eco Goddess. Like, I feel like that's how I want to introduce myself.
Like, I am Tara, Eco Goddess.
Hello, Karen. Nice to meet you, Eco Goddess.
Yeah. And Leah Thomas, an environmental activist and founder of Eco Vegan Gal. She promotes sustainable beauty and wellness options through her blog and social media presence.
I love it. I mean, Mother Earth is smiling, right? She's like, yeah, those are my stewards.
She's like, I've been waiting for these women. All right. You may know both of these names under the media and entertainment space. When I say media and entertainment, what's a woman that comes to mind?
You know what I'm going to say.
Who you going to say?
Because I love her so much. Oh.
Yeah. Miss Oprah Winfrey, the media mogul and philanthropist.
Trailblazer.
She.
Giver. Powerhouse.
Has built a multimedia empire that started with a bunch of no's. People saying that, you know, when she had her little afro, your hair needs to look like this, or you're too dark, or you're too this. And she's like, watch me.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me work. And now she's one of the most influential women, not just in media and entertainment, but in business.
Yes, absolutely. She's got such a great track record. I'm dating myself. Like, long time. It's been a long time.
A long time.
So not only is she a woman, but she's a woman of color at a time when nobody was going for that. And she was like, well, you know what? I'm doing it anyway. And I'm sure she grew a team of people that were like, yes, let's do this.
Mm-hmm. Another woman of color in media entertainment is Ava DuVernay. I also love Ava a lot. She is an acclaimed filmmaker and director known for her impactful works such as Selma and the TV series Queen Sugar. She also did 13th on Netflix. Okay. And When They See It, like all of those things. That's Ava.
Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to know her name. Thank you
for that. She has been a trailblazer in promoting diversity and social justice in cinema and television.
Great. Because we need that. I read some statistics about what's on the streaming thing. It's so crazy white. People probably think there's diversity out there. Let me tell you, we need more. Mm-hmm. We need more of all of the kinds and colors. The numbers are staggering to me.
Yeah.
I want children to grow up seeing people like themselves on TV and thinking, oh, this is possible.
Yeah, I mean, and I think even for myself, like I'm young.
AR.
I'm young adjacent. And you growing
up. Did you hear? I gave her such a look. I was like, so
yeah, I'm happy for you. Who looked like me. Of course, there was Oprah, but regular television. I watched ER. There were maybe like two black people on that show.
Right.
Maybe. I just know one.
And the shows that were depicting that were,
it was
comedies
not,
that
it
were
was,
borderline racist.
It was
racist,
fitting into the stereotype of...
They were still white people shows because they... Right.
Like, right. White people in the writing room or producing directing, or directing. Yeah. All of that.
100%.
Yeah. So now to have where you're in front and behind the camera, you're on the paper and in the soundtrack, like all of that, like...
Yes. Yes.
Just made me want to be like, Wakanda forever, y'all. Like that's...
Wakanda forever.
That's
Octavia, right?
We were talking
about... And who else? Who's the other woman that I was thinking about? Viola.
Oh, I love her.
I love her so much. Okay. Angela Bassett. I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah. We could. We would be here for the next 3 days.
So good.
Just talking about women.
Yeah.
We love us. All
we
right.
Do.
And let's see. Finance and investment.
Oh, this will be interesting.
Women are entering the finance sector, starting their own investment firms, and advocating for female representation in venture capital. Thank you, y'all. Thank you. They focus on promoting female-led startups and social impact investing. There is Sally Krawczyk, co-founder of Elvest, an investment platform designed to help women manage their finances and investments. I might need to
we're gonna list that in the resources too.
Might need to look into that a little bit more. Sally is a former Wall Street executive and has advocated for women's financial empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Elvest addresses the unique challenges women face in wealth management.
Yep. I think historically we focus on the nurturing, creative, healing pieces, and we maybe let the money piece be not as important. Another organization is Million Dollar. Oh my God, what is it called? I'm going to look it up while you're going to continue.
There is Kirsten Green, founder of Forerunner Ventures, a venture capital firm known for investing in consumer-focused startups, including Warby Parker and Glossier.
The women, there's two or three women that created this organization. They're called Dow Janes. Hilarious.
I've seen
isn't that amazing?
I haven't joined yet, but yes.
And it's Million Dollar Year is there. But the thing I love most about it, the pieces, first of all, they're just educating you
and
they're advising you, and then they talk about investing and not being afraid and you
and
know,
it's in like plain English. That's
it's,
what I like about
yes,
it. It's like,
exactly.
Oh, well, that's what that concept means. Because that's like one of the things, like when you sit into corporate meetings and they're talking dollars and then they say EBITDA and OBITDA. I'm like, what even is earnings before depreciation and interest? What does that mean? Is this revenue or is it not?
Mm.
Is this money the company can spend? What is it?
Saying words that I've never heard before.
EBITDA.
Yeah.
That's one of
I'm
the,
like, what?
Yeah. They would say it all the time. EBITDA
earnings
and OBITDA. Don't ask.
EBITDA. Life goes on.
Exactly.
That's what comes to mind when I hear those words.
And the final segment is travel and hospitality. Karen and I love some traveling.
Oh, we do. We got to be all over this.
Women entrepreneurs in the travel industry are creating unique travel experiences focusing on wellness retreats. One day we'll have one of those too, y'all.
Yes, we
will. Adventure tourism. I don't know about the adventure tourism, but tourism, yes. And women-focused travel services. Gina Williams is the founder of Adventures in Good Company, a travel company that offers women-only adventure trips, focusing on... This might be something you might be into.
Yeah, yeah.
Hiking, rafting, and cultural experiences. Her company aims to empower women through outdoor adventures while fostering connections among participants. I could see you going with Gina and them. Mm-hmm. And sending me pictures, FaceTiming me with
y'all. And you be on your, you be in the sun.
I'm going to be
on the chaise lounge
at Nadia Sakani's.
Is that the other one?
Co-founder of La Collectionist, a villa rental company that provides unique travel experiences worldwide, focusing on luxury and personalized service.
I will also be there. I will do my adventure, and then I will join you on the coast of Italy.
I'm like, adventure tourism. That sounds like
it. All of the above.
My daughter would probably like that too. Because
I'd take her. What, my daughter be sitting on the island with me in the villa. Your daughter be biking with me across the countryside, and then we'd meet up.
Yes. So what about some challenges faced by women entrepreneurs?
That long ago that we couldn't even own property. And that we were the property.
Get a credit card in your own name without a man.
So you think there's some challenge? Yeah, there's some things that we've had to come through. And it's not over. It ain't over.
Mm-mm. Oh, well. Challenges such as access to capital. They won't give us the money.
Right. Just give us the money. It's a good idea.
Give us the money. We can do it. So a lot of the issues with funding are due to biases and lack of connections in the business community. When I wrote lack of connections in the business community, that was the nice way for me to say not in the good old boys club.
Like, if you don't play golf and smoke cigars, then you probably ain't gonna get the money.
Probably not. Financial institutions.
That was a sweeping generalization. I do want to just footnote that and be like, I was going for the joke, and then I realized,
it's okay. Y'all know this. Financial institutions may prioritize male entrepreneurs, leaving women to struggle to find the necessary funds to start or grow their businesses. Just give us the money. We're going to be good with it. Yeah. Be good with it.
Yeah.
Another challenge is mentorship.
Right. If it's a smaller percentage of women doing this, then it's harder to find the mentor.
Yes. We struggle finding mentors who understand our unique challenges or can help us as we navigate some of these male-dominated industries.
I do think that women just approach business differently.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different approach and process, and it's not the standard old way, which is a beautiful thing. Does not compute with, like, in the box. So you have to present to be in the box so that you can get out of the box.
I saw a comment earlier today, like, when you're saying, like, be in the box, like, you have to understand your, not necessarily opponent, but your competitors or whatever it is, your counterparts, why for doing something. So we have to know what box we're playing in. Then we can build our argument for why give us money,
right?
Why mentor us, guide us, and support us in these business ventures. Like, when we understand that, like, oh, okay, well, these things are valuable to you. Like, they don't mean that much to me, but I can position my business in this way.
Exactly. Let me know what boxes you need me to check. Mm-hmm. I'll do that, plus all the things that I actually want to do in the ways that I want to run it.
A big challenge is societal expectations. Karen, and you know how Karen and I feel about these gender roles. You know how we feel about them. We grapple with societal norms that dictate how we show up, where we show up, when we show up.
How loud we show up.
Mm. And these expectations create additional pressure and limit our opportunities for networking and professional growth. So if we're supposed to work our job, take care of our kids, be a good significant other, take care of our parents, take care of our friends, like who gonna help us?
Yeah. What's left? How much bandwidth is left?
Mm-hmm. And also take care of ourselves and grow these businesses. What?
Like, that's more than one pie.
This is a whole bakery.
It's like a lot of pies that you got your hands in there. Yeah.
We can address these barriers through targeted programs, support networks, and inclusive policies to create more equitable opportunities for women entrepreneurs so we can thrive.
Inclusive policies, you say? Okay. Also, do I get to have a say over my...
No, we don't get to say anything.
My body.
We don't. It's
my
not
money,
yours.
My body.
None of that.
Oh, man.
All right.
What else did you say besides policies? What were the premise? Now I'm looking up. I'm like, there was something
targeted
I actually
targeted programs to say. And support networks.
That's what I wanted to say. So there are more programs out there, not just governmental, but private sector, venture capitalists, angel funders. Programs that specifically target slash support women-owned businesses, and those are really important to look into. There's more support on government levels and in.
So those angel investment networks like Golden Seeds, and I think this one is called Astia, that are designed to connect women entrepreneurs with investors looking specifically to support women-led businesses.
GoldenSeeds.com, and the other one was
ASTIA.
ASTIA.
And like you said, the government.
Both of which we're going to look into.
I mean, we have them pulled up currently. Women Business Centers. What is happening?
Blah, 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 blah.
Women's Business Center is funded by the Small Business Administration.
The SBA. That's what I wanted to
talk about. Yes. Yeah. You said, oh, the SBA, but these women's business centers, I'm not going to be able to, these WBCs.
it is hard to say that. Women's business centers.
Women's business centers provide services, including training, mentoring, and financing options specifically designed for women.
Yes.
That's all
women's business centers.
And then the one that you already knew about, SCORE. Mm-hmm. This is a nonprofit that offers free confidential business mentoring and training workshops.
Mm-hmm. Good resources.
I think I'm almost all the way through all of these 90,000 pages that I have.
The women who are listening, if you're listening, if you have a business idea and you've always wanted to own your own business. Now, to be clear, it's got to be a labor of love. You got to be passionate about this thing. It's got to also bring you joy. It's got to bring you feelings of satisfaction. You got to have a vision and mission that aligns with your soul. But there's probably nothing more satisfying.
Mm-hmm. What? Yes. Man, hear, hear. All of it.
Kudos, rah, rah. All the
things. If you have the dream, the desire, do it. What are some best practices for aspiring women entrepreneurs? I'm really just talking to myself right now.
Yeah. I know, me too.
Because we have to do all of these things. We are going to do all of these things.
Yes.
We are doing these things.
Yes, we are doing these things.
One best practice is networking. So attend industry events, leverage social media. I don't like that place, but you know, if I have to, I will.
I know. I struggle with that so hard. You know that.
I don't like that place in general.
Yeah.
But it can help. It can help you.
For sure.
Like
it's not the be all end all, but
you just gotta get the algorithm to show you what you want.
It's a tool for sure.
Join women focused organizations that support women entrepreneurs.
This is huge.
People that look like you.
That have blazed the trail, that are mentoring, that are supporting, that are coaching, that have advice.
Yes. Another best practice is to find mentors. I know we said that's a challenge, but y'all, like these women-focused organizations that you're going to join, you will find people who have walked the walk before you.
They are there, just waiting for you.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Take the first step.
And what Karen and I are actively doing right now is building our business acumen. Mm-hmm. We love our business so much because it's joy, it's soul care. Now we got to get to the business side of it, like really dive into that. And that's how we're spending our time.
Yeah, like we can do this, the inspiration of it and the joy and the goodness of it, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But right, not sustainable unless you have the business structure in mm-hmm. place. If you want to really do this, then
yeah,
got to have the bones.
Got to have the bones. And if the, as Mary Moore said, if the bones are good.
Yeah.
I also found 3 great books that focus on entrepreneurship for women.
Awesome.
Girl Boss by Sophia Amoruso, the CEO and founder of Nasty Gal, a successful online fashion retailer.
Nice.
Girl Boss is a powerful example of how women can carve their paths in industries dominated by traditional norms. It encourages women to embrace their individuality, take risks, and leverage their unique experiences in pursuit of business success. Yes, please. Of course, I could not talk about books or movements or organizations without mentioning Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In. Lean In encourages women.
I just read something called talking about leaning in today.
Well, that's what we're doing. Yeah. Lean In encourages women to pursue their ambitions and assert themselves professionally and personally.
Like, stand strong in who you are and what you offer and the skills that you have, mm-hmm. what you bring. Yes, let's stand strong in that.
Yes. Lean In is an inspirational call to action for women entrepreneurs to take charge of their careers and pursue business opportunities. Mm-hmm. By encouraging women to lean in, the book fosters a spirit of determination and resilience, vital for those aiming to reshape the business world and drive positive change.
Book club, anyone?
I mean, how many books can we read at one time?
I know. I've got so
many. How many? I don't know who want to be in the Yo Podcast book club.
Yeah. Message us. Yeah.
Okay.
There's so many things.
That's all I had.
Amazing tools, tips, resources, information, inspiration. Thank you, Tara, for all of that. It's for us. And now we're going to take all of those things that have soaked into our heart and soul and brain.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to shake it up with a little dancing.
Yeah, we are.
Here we go. Why don't you tell us about this song? Because you actually knew it.
I did. But I know my musical.
I just love the groove.
Library collection catalog is very
eclectic.
Yes, absolutely. 100%
eclectic. And I love the shake of booty to this one.
And this song is from the lovely Miss Kelly Clarkson.
A strong contender in her own right.
And the song is A Whole Lot of Woman.
Let's dance.
Check out this week's song on the Yo Podcast playlist on Spotify. Anything I see, I want, I get.
Anything I see, I want, I get. I love how they ended that, because how much fun was that song to record? Like, you know, they were having a time in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was great.
That was fun.
I love that. That was very fun.
Jeez. That felt really good.
That felt really good.
All right.
This whole episode feels really good. Just talking about these. This feels uplifting, considering.
Would make sense for where we are. I feel like it's a turning point.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
That feels good.
These 2 whole lot of women
mm-hmm.
have danced it out. Oh, not yeah. quite in studio, but we danced it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now time for today's question of the day.
Q-O-T-D.
What does entrepreneurship mean to you? And how can we better support women in business?
Well, since I just took a course with Tara about it, I'm going to say entrepreneurship is that independent risk-taking business spirit that so many people have and so many people don't act on.
Mm.
It requires strength and confidence and ridiculous belief and risk and fail and risk and fail and fail and fail and perseverance and resilience. Entrepreneurship is character building, to say the least. You listed so many great sources for supporting women. The SBA has some things, Women Business Centers, things that you named throughout the episode. We can support each other by finding out what are women-owned businesses in your community and go there and spend your dollars,
yeah,
either online or in person.
I mean, you just took everything that I wrote down for what entrepreneurship is, because I highlighted entrepreneurship is taking risks.
Oh, man.
So I ain't got to go through all of my other definition because you already said it. But I also wanted to say that entrepreneurship is about turning ideas into viable businesses.
Yes. That's great. That is great.
I'm like, that's the only thing I can add to that.
It's taking that aha moment, that thing of like, I wonder if, what if, and then making it a tangible business.
Yep.
Yes. That's love it. That.
So as we wrap up today's episode, let's take a moment to reflect on the incredible contributions of women in entrepreneurship and leadership. Mm-hmm. Women's voices and decisions shape our communities and industries in profound ways. I found a powerful quote that reminds us of the importance of inclusivity and representation in every sphere of our life.
Oh, I can't wait.
This quote is from the Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Okay. RBG.
RBG said, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. It shouldn't be that women are the exception.
Drop the mic. Just drop
RBG.
It.
Yes, ma'am.
Shouldn't be the exception. We should be in on every one of those conversations. Oh, I love it.
In the spirit of celebrating Women's Entrepreneurship Day, we invite you to take action, support women-owned businesses, share their stories, and consider becoming a mentor to help foster the next generation of female leaders. Let's keep championing the remarkable women around us. Keep dreaming big and breaking barriers.
Women uplifting and supporting women. That's the cure. That's the answer. Explorers, thanks for joining us for this beautiful episode. We hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, and we'll talk to you soon. Take good care.
Thank you to Queenie's in downtown Durham for the use of their community podcast studio and for welcoming us so warmly each week. We'd like to give a shout out to Coco Cinnamon, the birthplace of 1023 Media and the Yo Podcast. Please support your local, women-owned, minority-owned coffee shop in downtown Durham. Brought to you by Durham-based 1023 Media, a heart-centered, woman-owned multimedia company.